Hello, party people, and welcome to another episode of Cast Party, presented by Shays Performing Arts Center. I am your co-party host, Rita Sirianni, and with me today I have Juliana Tracy.
Hello.
And Ken Lazuski.
Hello, everyone.
And this is a very unique episode, so we welcome you to episode 5. And just kind of to quickly explain it, we had a really nice interview a few weeks ago with Rachel Buchanan, who is our receptionist here at Shays.
Ooh.
And she's also our photographer for podcasts, for Cast Party, for podcast, and
which is named Cast Party,
which is called Cast Party.
I think I'm still a host on it.
Yes,
as far as I know.
Yes, we have not replaced you yet, though. Rachel's audition was phenomenal.
Spoiler in the interview. I think she's like interviewing to replace me.
Yeah,
yeah. She was very successful. Yeah.
She did great.
So this, no. Yeah.
What wasn't successful was the gain on my microphone. And yeah, so if you'll please excuse my microphone, it's not the best you'll ever hear it. We are kind of figuring out how to produce a podcast as we go. So that was definitely a learning curve. But yeah, so we wanted to reintroduce it, let you know that's what's going on, and let you know a little bit about Rachel. So Rachel, in addition to being a receptionist and a photographer, she's a fantastic artist here in the community. Mm-hmm. She wears many hats, and so it was really nice to get to know her a little bit more as both employees but friends, and also hopefully future collaborators.
And an actor.
Yes.
In the theatre.
Yes.
Yes.
Well said.
Something Rotten.
Yes.
Another spoiler. Sorry. Everybody just go listen to the rest of the episode for the interview. Yes.
So with that in mind, I'm going to take it away, and we're going to introduce you all to Rachel Buchanan.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We just hit the clap button.
Oh, well, thank you for all the fake claps.
Yes.
Rachel, thank you for taking time out of your workday to come talk to us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Rachel, how long have you been at Shays now?
About 3 years.
Oh my gosh, that's right. You were here a year before me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And 2 years before me.
Yes.
Yes. Ken's a newbie.
I know. For those of you who don't know, this Rachel being on the show is her audition to replace me, everybody. So make sure you put hashtag don't replace Ken on the podcast. Vinny, go to bat for me, Vinny.
I'm coming for your gig, Ken. I mean...
Juliana, I can't believe Ken figured us out that we were using this as an opportunity to replace him.
I know. Oh, I can't believe he caught it. You know, we had one blonde, just another.
It's all right.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
So we thought, as we are continuing to make our way through the Cast Party, we would do some fun at times interviewing people, including our staff, about things Shays, but also things not so Shays. So... kind of off the bat, Rachel, would you be cool just kind of sharing with our listeners like a little bit about your life outside of Shays as a theater practitioner and photographer?
Yeah, I think any artist likes to have their hands in a bunch of different things. I feel like I spread my creativity across many different mediums. I've been an actor since I was in like middle school. Been doing photography forever. I also like paint and things like that. I feel like... where everyone's just looking for their creative outlooks, or outlets, I should say.
Yeah, Rachel, you wear so many hats and you wear them so well. I'm obsessed with your photography Instagram page.
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been doing it since like middle school. It was something I just did. I took a class and I never stopped. So it's been really fun to exercise those muscles.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I know you did when Brian started, you did his headshot.
Mm-hmm.
You did my headshot. It looks so much better now that it is updated from 10 years ago.
That's a tip. Everyone update your headshots.
Necessary.
Very necessary.
Can you do my headshot, Rachel?
Absolutely can.
I don't trust you.
You might break my camera.
Absurd. That's absurd. This may truly be my last episode. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, she's smoking, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Cool off.
No.
Wow.
No. Keep going.
I kind of like it. It's great. I was going to ask you what you paint, but now I really don't care.
You know, what do you paint?
I feel like most of my art just focuses on people. In every facet, like my photography is always portrait centered, but also painting wise, I feel like I just always paint people. Or like my, I painted something for my fiance, like our first Christmas together, and it was like our hands reaching for each other.
Oh, that's really sweet. So cute.
I know. It's gross.
That's actually adorable, Kat.
Man, you're going to have to do it for free. Commission it, yeah.
Yeah, can I pay you to do one of my wife and I's hands?
Sure. Homework. Absolutely.
You're welcome. I just saved you so much thought time.
For Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That's very nice. And so, Rachel, you started theater and photography in middle school. When you were looking at colleges, what kind of programs were you looking for specifically, do you think?
I think with college specifically, I was looking for a place that felt kind of like home. I knew that the most of the places I was looking at, I felt like were solid programs, and I felt like they could pump out good work and like teach me what I needed to learn. But I think the thing that really drew me to Niagara University specifically was that it felt like a more familial element when I was applying. It's finding somewhere that you'll be comfortable and you feel supported is important, I think, in that college audition process.
Mm-hmm.
College auditions are genuinely some of the worst periods of people's lives, myself included, but you always turn up where you need to be, so I think that's
And it's expensive and it's exhausting, but I mean it is part of a huge part of your education and life moving forward with it, so put you on the right path.
Yeah,
I think that's good what you noted too, like if it feels like home or like going with your gut, that's one of like the most important ways to make a decision, especially about your education, I think, especially with theater, because theater is so vulnerable that you don't want to be somewhere that doesn't feel like a little bit like a home, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you say Niagara University one more time so we can charge them every time you say it as a sponsor for the episode? No, I'm kidding.
Can we charge them to pay back my student loans?
Nope,
Niagara
can't do that.
University. Niagara University.
No.
It's like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, right. One more time, Father Mara's going to pop up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay, so this podcast is called Cast Party. So I really wanted to start asking our guests, starting with you, Rachel, if you'd be so brave. Do you have a fun cast party or a rehearsal story from either high school or college or out in the real world that you can share on the air?
I feel like a lot of the theater I've done post-college is with a much older crowd. So cast parties, like when you're in high school and college, are very like full of debauchery and fun, but then as you get older,
that's awesome. The way you frame it.
As you get older, they're a little more like, oh, I want a glass of wine and some cheese. They get a little classier. So
do they end earlier or later?
Oh, earlier for sure.
In bed by 8
like,
kind of vibe?
I'm definitely someone who likes to be in bed by like 9:30. So I appreciate the adult cast parties where you have fun, eat some good food, everyone brings a plate, and then you go home and go to sleep.
I've just learned now that cast parties after dark are actually just very responsible and great ways to see your cat early.
But my college and high school days, I don't know if you want those stories. Oh, those are a little more crazy.
This is like the reverse of what I thought.
Really?
Well, you said like the cast party, like the one episode we said like in high school after like a 2-day run, everybody's like sobbing like they've been together for like 3 weeks and like hugging each other. Like,
it's true. That's true.
It's like the graduation song, like when we get like that one song that they play. Yeah, go on. And everybody's like, I'll never see you again.
Well, theater really brings you together, and that you create something from nothing.
I don't know. I got cut from my middle school.
It gets really emotional.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think also maybe like in terms of the adult thing. Like, I mean, in high school, you're sobbing and crying because it's the end of something, and I know you'll see everyone every day. But for a lot of adults, this is their career, and they're used to ending one thing and doing another, starting up another. Yeah, on to the next.
So it's not as big of a
Band-Aid ripoff, because like after your high school show, realistically, unless you do like community theater, what are you doing for the rest of the year?
That's a good point. But yeah, because like, I mean, when I was in high school, like I did one musical with high school, and then I would do one musical with my community theater group.
Yeah,
and they both took all year. So also, you're getting like hyped, like oh my god, this is the week of the show. Like I'm waiting for Guffman, it's the day of the show, y'all. Like,
what do you mean by like community theater compared to like J710 or something? Like, what's the title?
So, I'll tell you a little bit about my specific theater community. I don't know if you guys did it growing up, but I grew up in West Seneca, and I did West Seneca Youth Theater. Shout out to them.
And it was just like an after school program.
Oh, nice.
So like on Sundays, my parents would drop me off literally at a community center. Mm-hmm. And we would work on for the whole year, like Bugsy Malone Jr., which is a great show and movie if you ever want to see it. And we would do it at a local middle school, and it would be all hands on deck amongst the community. So, like, your moms are making costumes,
sure.
and your dads are driving you to rehearsal, and your aunts are giving you, like, the old things in their attic that you randomly need from the magical 1920s. Like, so that's kind of what I mean about community.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But that's great vibe. That's all. Yeah, that's like an all hands on deck kind of feel. That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have that environment growing up, and I feel like it is a big reason why I stayed in theater. Because Rachel, Juliana, tell me if you guys are feeling similarly. But when you have a good environment to like kind of cultivate or like curate your passion or interest in theater in a safe space like that, it causes it to blossom in really big ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel that. You have to go where you feel encouraged and supported, and that makes it better. If you are in an environment where you're not feeling that, there's so much theater out there, go find it.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Find your people, find the shows that speak to you. Obviously, sometimes when you're auditioning, it feels like you can't make choices, but I think that that's important to remember if you're applying for a job or if you're applying for a role. Like, go with your gut. Choose what feels good.
Yeah. Auditions are just job interviews at the end of the day. Yes. I know that's like sounds crazy because like some of you may know because some of you are actors listening to it. Like it feels like it's a giant performance because you're going in there and singing. But at the end of the day, you're applying for a job. Mm-hmm. So it's also if the room feels right to you, too, because it could be that like you get the part, but the director or like the room doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. So you have the option to say no to things.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And I always think about like what's for you will not pass you by. So ooh, if you're meant
holy,
for something, if
that's
you're
nice.
If yeah. a show is like right for you, you'll know.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, kind of going a tangent off of that, like Rachel, what to you would be? I know Something Rotten was a bit of a dream role for you, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. Are there other dream roles on your to-do list as you kind of continue on?
I feel like I'm at a point in my life now where my type is changing a little bit. I was trying to go for those like leading lady parts, and now I'm on the cusp of 30. So my
so you're fully a leading lady.
So now? Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, a little
Rachel's
less
still
ingenue.
Definitely a leading lady.
But I don't know. I feel like a lot of the things I thought I was gonna do when I was younger are either or already have been done, or I'm a little too old for them now. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of just taking things as they come. I'm happy to do really anything as long as I feel like I'll have a good time.
Guys, cast her, please. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I will say I love Shakespeare a lot, so any big Shakespeare roles, like, I'd love to dive back into Rosalind or Viola and different shows like that, so those are still on there.
That's right. Rachel, you did something kind of out of pocket, which was really cool. You did an all-female-identifying production of Hamlet, and you were Laertes?
Yes, I was.
That is so cool. Was that a nice change-up for you?
Yeah. I feel like in Buffalo, it's hard because there's not that much Shakespeare out there. It's basically like Delaware Park, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And they do so much for the community. And then there's a smattering of other ones throughout the year, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So doing an all-female Hamlet was really fun. The Brazen-Faced Varlets are a great company. They're female-led. And they wanted to do an all-female Hamlet. And it was just a really great experience.
I mean, talking about, like, being in the room with, like, people that, like, make you feel safe, that sounds like one of the most safe, creative places to be with Hamlet.
Oh, absolutely. And it was, that's a really tough show. It's very weighty and very emotional. So having a good team behind you where you feel supported is really important. And the Varlets really provided that.
Nice. Ken, do you know the famous lines from Hamlet? Or do you know what we're talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but it sounds very creative and wonderful. And if Rachel's in it, Something Rotten, I only know that because of Rachel.
That's true.
Then
I was sitting front row. I was sitting front row. I'm Rachel's number one fan.
Ken, what is your dream role? What is your dream role, Ken?
Oh, Something Rotten.
Sorry,
my dream role is Portia in Something Rotten.
Oh, my God.
Not Quasimodo.
Not Quasimodo, no. I want to be Captain Phoebus. I don't want to be Quasimodo.
Why not? He has the best hero song.
He doesn't end up with Esmeralda. Phoebus does in the movie.
That's your goal.
Quasi has like the emotional breakthroughs and the journey.
I can't sing like him.
No.
Oh, he's swinging from the bells. He's like Spider-Man while he's singing. He's crazy. Phoebus is just hanging out.
Phoebus has to do some sword fighting. Can you?
Oh, I love
in
to do
the
that,
music. Because
it
reminds me of lightsabers. Yeah, as well.
Beep. I'd be swinging the lightsaber, the sword, whatever.
The lightsaber in Hunchback of Notre Dame in
space.
Galaxy far, far away.
Could you imagine? Rachel, can't you produce Hunchback or something?
I would love to. I think that's a show that needs to be done more.
Yes.
Hey, okay.
Thank you.
I actually was in high school, but
that's so beautiful. We don't need Shakespeare. We need Quasimodo.
Why not both?
Don't my high school director
ruin that.
Coming to 710.
Actually, when I did do casting, I think when people came in and they had out there in their books, I'd be like, could you sing this, please? Just so I could hear it.
It's a great song.
And meanwhile, as an actor, you're like, I haven't sang that in 8 years. How dare you? But
Oh, no, I was hiding that in the back of my book and you magically saw it.
How did you know?
Rachel Giuliano, I've always been interested about this. Like, what is, like, I know, like, how I prepare for, like, a job interview. Is it, how much, I mean, you've compared, like, a job interview to an audition. Like, how different is it? Like, when you applied for the job here, you know, 9 to 5, and then you applied for an audition, or I don't even know, is it applied for an audition or I don't know, so, whatever it's called,
say apply,
like, how different is it? Is it, like, does it feel different? Is it just
so,
like,
different?
It's so different.
So
in a way, like, you know how some people have portfolios, mm-hmm. like they'll bring into job interviews. We have what we call our book, which is, like, just basically a catalog of all the songs that we have prepared. Okay. Like, not ever, but it's, like, different genres. So we'll have, like, a made pre-1960, which is called Golden Age. Mm-hmm. One that is more contemporary, rock and roll, a pop, or whatever, like
a
all this stuff.
Song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A ballad, up tempo kind of thing. And usually we'll have one that, like, they'll either want, like, a 32 bar cut, which is, like, of the length of the music, which is about a minute or a minute and, and a half. Mm-hmm. And you go in and you sing it. Usually, sometimes they're like, we want to hear even less because we're running behind. Mm-hmm.
So make your 16 bar cut just as good as 32.
Yes.
Nothing worse than when the audition monitor says, all right, everyone, it goes from 32 to 16 now, please.
Oh my God. I went to one audition, and I won't name names, but literally they were told us to prepare two 32s, and then they're like, actually, we just need one 16 bar cut.
So that wasn't even cut in half. That was like cut in half twice.
Yeah. And then, oh, there's some, like, I've heard people who've had an 8 bar cut, and one girl literally just, like, held out a note. Because sometimes the note is 8 bars. So she just held out the note and was like, thank you.
Like, I'll see myself out now. Yeah. Thank you very much.
There was a time we were auditioning folks for Shrek in the ensemble. And Shrek has, like, a bunch of different fun roles in the ensemble. I had to give one of our actresses that we were auditioning a very small cut of the little bluebird. Explodes that too.
Cheep, 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 cheep.
Yeah. And we were like, can you just take that? We'll give you 10 minutes and then come back in. And I think that was like a solid 16 bars that this girl just had to randomly improvise and hit that high note. And then we were like, all right, thank you. That's all. And, like, she was like, yeah, no problem. I do tricks.
That'll be extra. Tricks.
We gave her the gift, but I was like, amazing. This is one of the weirdest, like, sides I've ever given someone on the fly.
I think theater is almost, not almost, it definitely is more vulnerable than a job interview. Because you can go into a job interview and you can be just yourself and present yourself in the best light that you can, but it's ultimately just a conversation about what you can bring to the table. In theater, you have to show up warmed up, knowing your material. I think more prep goes into auditions than it does into a job interview almost, because you have to be so on the ball with everything, and you have to not only be, like, personable and show them, like, who you are, but also
present in the moment exactly what you bring to the table. So I feel like it's more stressful than a job interview.
And it is vulnerable because at the end of the day, you are your instrument, if that's weird. I don't know how to explain that.
Sure, that's well said.
Like violinists can go into an orchestra audition, and like if their violin like messes up or something like, or the string pops, so that's the violin. It's not on the. I mean, it is on the person playing the violin, but at the end of the day, the violin did that, not the person. Mm-hmm. For you, like if you mess up in your audition, singing or doing your monologue or dancing, sometimes it could be taken you can take it personally, which is not the advice. Don't do that. But because it is solely you,
I completely agree.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's insightful.
Then, one thing I feel like crosses over between an interview and an audition is one thing that you might not realize is being observed or considered is like when you walk in, how are you treating your audition monitor? Are you saying hello, how are you, or are you maybe reflecting a bad day that isn't their fault? Or when you walk into the audition room, how are you working with your accompanist? Are you communicating with them, or are you just throwing them your binder and hoping for the best? So there's things like that too that I feel like even with a dance call, it's not necessarily you hitting every single part of that routine, but it's like how you learn the routine as well. So those are things too that I just don't even think we realize are being considered when auditioning and when we're interviewing, are those little things there that make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Definitely. I like that term, audition monitor.
Audition monitor?
Yeah.
Is that a new word? That's not the word.
I know, but
that's not the word that I have written down, but I can't explain that on the fly.
I keep wanting you to be like casting director or the director, but you keep saying audition monitor.
So,
and I think of like a screen.
No.
Like I'm thinking of like a screen that says like counts down or something.
So that's what your impression of an audition monitor is.
Well, monitor sounds like a monitor.
Okay.
Like a screen that's,
So
it's a people.
It's a person.
The audition.
The audition monitor is usually the person that you like go to be like, hey, I'm here. Sign me up, coach, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they'll like lead you into the audition. They're usually the one. If they know your name or like you tell them your name, they'll be like, hi everyone, this is Juliana Tracy. This is Rachel. Like whatever. When you go into your audition, sure. So you don't have to do that.
Like they might slate for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They might what?
They might slate. For you, remember, but, from was it last episode we talked about slating, which is when you introduce yourself in an audition.
Hi, my name is Ken Lazuski.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Rita. Nice.
I will be singing out there from but they also
out there. Sorry.
That's actually that was decent.
I got
that was
cut
really
from
good.
Again. Let me remind the audience: I was cut from The Lion King or whatever this show I was.
Probably shouldn't
at St. Greg's.
Be in the line.
Or was it? I don't know what it was, but I got cut. So,
Ken, if I was that director,
now I'm on a podcast.
I would have hired you to be the giant rock, Pride Rock.
So a non-speaking role.
A non-speaking.
Thank you very much. And non-facing. And because I'll break the camera, also you couldn't see my face because I was a rock. So thank you very much.
No shame in the non-speaking role.
No.
You seem like a sturdy kind of actor.
I don't know what that means. Thank you.
In this version, Rita, are the actors climbing? Are they like on Ken's back?
Are they climbing Pride Rock? I'd be like,
or like are they like still doing the circle of life number the same way that every other production of The Lion King would do Circle of Life?
In my head, the most humorous outcome would be them, climbing on Ken's back.
That should be the cartoon for this, is like you guys climbing like Pride Rock, like with Quasimodo in the background swinging. Like,
so on Ken's shoulders holding baby Simba.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll Photoshop it. I'll make that happen.
Please. I can't wait to be Pride Rock. I'm going to put it on my resume.
Little puppet.
We have thrown so many things at Rachel as a photographer for this podcast.
Yes.
Starting with the photo shoot in the theater, and then most recently we had her take photos of friendship bracelets I made at like 2 a.m. That was super nice of you. They came out so great.
That was a great,
amazing
post,
editing.
Yes.
Well, thanks. Yes. I had fun with it. I love working with you guys, so it's been really fun to jump in whenever you need me.
Would you say, aside from the podcast, what has been your favorite moment working at Shays so far?
Shays presents itself with a lot of different opportunities to step up and step in. And I've done a couple different presentations over the years about some of the shows that are in our Broadway series. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've done that. I did one about Hadestown, which is like my favorite show ever. So that was really fun to give like some background information for our patrons who didn't know about it. And then at the season announcement that following year, I did a presentation with my friend Emily about Six.
Yes, and you were all the different queens.
We were all the different queens. I got to wear a crown and be on the Shays stage, so that was pretty big.
It was great. It was a hit with our audience you guys did that.
Yeah, I think it's fun to like inform people about what's coming up, because if you're not familiar with a show, you might not want to go see it, but you could be missing out on something amazing.
Which show do you think our subscribers know the least about, but would be most excited about for next year? That's a really hard question.
It is
a great question.
I feel like we have a lot of shows based on movies and books, so that's helpful that it's familiar, but I think two that people aren't super familiar with are Suffs, which I think is a beautiful show.
Oh my God.
Makes you cry, definitely. Yeah. Oh. So very powerful. But also inspires a lot of hope.
Yes.
So I think that's a great one. And then Twas the Night Before is also a Cirque du Soleil show that I feel like people don't know a whole lot about.
Sure.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, no, I agree. I didn't even know that Suffs was like produced by Hillary Clinton, or like the huge amount of work that went around it. Mm-hmm. And it looks like very inventive storytelling. So I agree with you. I think that'll be really cool for people. And then Cirque, I mean, I have never been to Cirque. I know people who like follow Cirque about, like they go to those shows. Mm. So I'm kind of curious to see what the hype is about as well, for sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be a new experience because it's not something we've had in our season for a little bit.
Right.
So
agreed. And it'll be just pretty because one of my friends from a study abroad program, she was in a Cirque show because she's an amazing violinist. And I hope she doesn't mind me speaking on her behalf.
She does.
She posted on Instagram one of her shots from her Cirque contract, and she's floating in the air on a harness
with
a beautiful dress that is running all the way down to the floor, and she's playing Christmas song, or I don't think they're Christmas songs, but she's playing like a little Christmas angel in the air. And I was like, that is like just a beautiful stage picture.
Yeah. Well, it's all about spectacle, so it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, you've now spoiled my entrance when we do the live recording of Cast Party, because I was going to drop down from the ceiling with the violin.
Or was it Linda, like, the let us speak?
Live episode recording, something to look forward to. I was going to drop down from the ceiling. Or into the trap door from Wicked on our stage.
Oh, we just saw that the other day.
Yes. Yeah.
But I want to do some type of acrobatic entrance. Yeah. Since I'm a sturdy actor, according to Rita.
You are a sturdy actor.
Whatever that means again.
I feel like you'd be a great Glinda as well, but I do think you would lose out the role.
I thought you were going to say tree this time. So.
Oh, Glinda's a dream. We love Miss Glinda.
Who?
We
do.
Glinda.
Glinda the Good Witch.
Yes, yes, yes.
You lost that role out to Rachel in the casting.
Yeah.
And I am wearing pink, so it's only right.
Yes. Actually, well, that's another important thing for casting. If you're auditioning, just like you would wear a nice interview outfit, you kind of, your audition outfit sometimes, if you can kind of evoke the character without rolling up in full costume, that's always a nice creative way to
that's
show your stuff and your
too.
Knowledge.
Rita's in casting, right? So you know this is all like the inside scoop kind of stuff.
There's little like bits here and there that I've clocked, but Juliana and Rachel being the actual practitioners and the ones
actors
coming in, they're the folks I would listen to more so.
I could have used these audition tips in fifth grade.
We can't.
I did not. We can't go back in time, though. Back to the Future's coming. Back to the Future's coming. Speaking of going back in time, boom.
Wow.
Where are you going with that, Ken?
Just a plug. Just going out there. See, if you want to keep it in, go ahead. Keep it in. No, whatever. Coming to end of June.
Okay, really quick. I have a couple of quick fire round questions I want to ask Rachel, but I also want to shout out that Rachel and Juliana, and Ken, you as well, but like Rachel specifically has done a lot for the Centennial this year. And one thing that she like spearheaded was we have our own like centennial coffee.
Yeah, blend, Rachel.
The typical coffee, and it's all thanks to Rachel. And I can't wait to buy a bag, and people can still buy merch and bags of coffee from literally you at the box office at Shea's.
Yes, absolutely. The coffee is my favorite thing. I drink it every morning actually because it's that good.
Yes.
And I love our friends at Tipico. I love everything that they're about and how they're very ethical in their sourcing of the coffee, and they're just great humans and they make great coffee. So
can you remind me of their storefront? That which town are they in right now?
It's down on Elmwood.
Yep, it's on Elmwood. Yeah, it's right
by Mr.
Yep.
Goodbar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Yep, it's on Elmwood.
Right there. And it's their food is also really good, so stop by.
I love it.
We also purchase a bag, I believe, in their storefront.
Maybe we just do a podcast episode at Tipico and we get the Centennial blend and lunch. What?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm just missing now. That's awesome. Yeah, definitely come see Rachel and buy a bag of coffee. Quick fire round for you, Rachel. Just see how what you answer with very quickly, if that's cool with you.
Yeah.
All right, really quick. Dream show to work on.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Pre-show ritual.
Warming up.
Very good. Favorite line from a musical that you've delivered or just that exists?
That's a tough one. I hadn't even thought about that one. Oh, no.
All right, moving on. It's like Family Feud. You have Ted, you're out. No,
sorry.
Pass.
Pass, yeah. Pass. Yeah, that's it. That's what they do. Pass.
Ghostlight, spooky or just tradition?
Tradition, not spooky at all.
What?
Ooh.
Okay, we'll come back. Pass.
Backstage snack of choice.
Watermelon Sour Patch Kids.
Yes. Excellent choice.
That's amazing. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Stage left or stage right?
Stage left.
I agree.
I don't know why. It just feels right.
It does.
Favorite person on Cast Party? Podcast.
Rita, because she's my boss.
Yes.
That's brown nosing. That's actually negative points.
She's the best employee ever, and that was the test to show that. So there.
But Rita's also just really cool, so sorry, Ken.
And she was
and you're
promoted into Ken's role.
Yeah. Rachel's not you now.
Amazing.
Thank you all for the 4-episode run I had here.
Rachel, you are our first person that we interviewed. Thank you so much. Beyond just obviously me being your boss, I just really love talking to you in general. I find you to be such like a wealth of knowledge, especially about the arts and the community, and getting a chance to talk to you and Juliana and Ken about a little bit more about behind the scenes. This has been really nice. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank
it's
you.
Been awesome.
Absolutely.
And Rachel's in the front. So if you're ever here at the box office, you know, say hi. She's a wonderful person. She's a terrific actor. I will one day see her in something that can back that up. But from what everybody tells me, she's a wonderful colleague and a great person. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, some quick campus shout-outs. So we have another special engagement from Gallagher. Ain't Too Proud, The Lives and Times of the Temptations. This is such a fun show. Hmm. It is May 30th through June 1st.
Is that Jukebox Musical?
I believe
I almost said diabetic, but what's the diet?
Juliana.
Diegetic?
Yeah, diegetic and non-diegetic.
Thank you.
I also want to correct myself because I was listening to our Share episode, our Share-azode, the other night. It hasn't released yet, but by the time this is released, it will be released. I referred to burlesque as diegetic. It is not diegetic. It is non-diegetic, but I said the wrong word with the wrong definition. So I said diegetic with the non-diegetic definition for burlesque at the very end.
Thank you for clarifying.
So,
thank you. You had me sold, Juliana.
If you heard me and then you were like, that's wrong, Juliana, let me throw Rotten Tomatoes at her.
Vinny, do it.
Do that.
Vinny, do it.
Please, sir, I accept it. You could yell at me, fire me. It's okay. But
so if you see Juliana in the theater, you can yell at her.
Yeah, tell her I'm bad at it.
You know, it's not easy always educating you, and she was doing her best.
I just said Juliana could have sold me on whatever. Like, I would just sit here and nod because I'm so confident in what Juliana says when it comes to theater and all that.
Strong and wrong.
Yeah.
Strong, sturdy, like Pride
sturdy,
Rock.
Like
strong
Pride
and sturdy,
rock.
Like Pride Rock, Rita. I'm so happy this is my last episode.
You say that every episode.
I do. I have said that now 4 episodes in a row, and I keep coming. Every time I come to this place, I'm abused.
because you antagonize us.
But it's among friends.
It's among friends. It's so honored to be among friends, yes.
Juliana, thank you for the amendment.
So moved. Motion approved.
Thank you guys for joining us for Cast Party. We hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to keep up with us on social media, on Shay's Buffalo social pages, and we'll see you next time. Ken, why don't you play us out, sir? Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Cast Party is presented by Shays Performing Arts Center.
Produced by Cassandra Lippert, Ken Lazuski, myself, Juliana Tracy, and Rita Siriani.
Theme song by John Michael Ogletree.
Audio mixing by Dave Lenhart.
Logo and graphics designed by Acacia Crozier.
Marketing and social media by Bridget Neeson.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to Shays Performing Arts Center Presents Cast Party, wherever exceptional podcasts are downloaded.
Or visit us at shays.org.
Bye-bye.